In the enduring splendor of a British manor, an unforeseen love is about to take root for Leo, an attentive young butler. As spring embraces the English countryside, Lord Carlson, the stern ruler of the local township, is planning an extraordinary gala for the local noble people. In preparing for this event, his manservant, Leo, is instructed to notify a novice gardener to create a stunning floral arrangement for the banquet. Upon entering the secluded garden, Leo is captivated not by the roses, but by the gardener himself, an innocent lad whose charm far surpasses the manor's finest flora in his beauty. Leo's heart is sent aflutter. From their very first encounter in this magical orchard, a love as forbidden as the secret garden itself is about to blossom. Hello, Governor. Fancy a steamy story? Excellent. I figured who better to tell a tale about the United Kingdom than a proper Brit. I'm Jack Turner, and today I'm taking you to a small hamlet in merry old England. Mine is a tale about a dutiful butler who stumbles into a secret garden and discovers a handsome horticulturalist who is unknowingly about to change his, as well as the townfolk's, lives and hearts forever. So, put the kettle on, settle in for a nice cup of tea while I tell you a steamy story about a gorgeous gardener. Tucked away in the East Midlands of Britain lies Bakewell, a scenic village marked by narrow cobblestone streets teeming with townsfolk. Among them was Leo, a humble servant who navigated through these bustling lanes with skill and ease. The embodiment of youth and vigour, Leo was an enchanting figure known for his unwavering morals. Recently turned 18, his youthful vitality and zest for life were evident. Leo's broad shoulders and defined physique reflected his physical prowess and inner spirit. Every movement he made was purposeful and graceful, demonstrating a controlled authority. As Leo navigated the town's charming thoroughfares, his purposeful footsteps resonated. He had just delivered a box of important invitations to the town crier and was now returning to his residence, though not truly a home, for it lacked warmth and family. His dwelling was actually a grand manor where he worked, slept, and lived. The impressive stone structure stood amidst the picturesque countryside. This stately dwelling belonged to a solitary, stern nobleman named Lord Carlson. Lord Carlson's mansion, imposing and austere, seemed to peer down upon the town with a stern presence. Its facade exuded rigidity and formality, leaving no room for warmth or joy. This had been Leo's residence since his childhood. He was an orphan, taken in and raised by Lord Carlson's staff to serve in the household. The cold grey mansion was destined to be his home for the rest of his life, and the Lord, for lack of anyone else, was his surrogate father. Although Leo knew kindness from the other servants at the manor, he never felt love, as the staff did not seem to share Leo's empathy for Lord Carlson, finding him a hard, rigid man incapable of joy or emotion. However, Leo frequently defended the Lord to the others, describing him as misunderstood, likely a man with a shattered past, much like their own. He urged them to show compassion and understanding, even though the nobleman's harsh words and cold demeanor often cut through them. On one particularly magnificent spring morning, Leo was summoned to the Lord's study. The master of the house cleared his throat with an icy crackle before commanding, My duties as lord in these regions require me to host an affair for the local aristocrats. I loathe these individuals and have nothing but disdain for my neighbors and the surrounding nobility. Still, it is my duty to provide an exquisite affair at my mansion and an evening that they will remember. My roses are among my prized possessions, and my garden is my pride. I need you to meet with my horticulturalist and prepare a magnificent bouquet of roses as the centerpiece of my table. Also inform him that my private garden's gate is to be locked and no one is to gain access during the affair. Anything less than a spectacular display from Julian will not be tolerated.
Of course, Lord Carson, Leo replied. It will be done immediately. I will meet with Julian now, explain your request, and inform him of your wish to keep the garden's gates locked during the gala.
Without wasting a moment, Leo carried out the nobleman's instructions and made haste to the manor's back garden. Lord Carson's private orchard was nestled behind a topiary of shrubs, shaped like various wild animals. Leo felt a thrill at the chance to visit the garden, which few had the privilege of stepping into, and to meet the gardener, referred to as magnificently muscular and spectacularly handsome by the women of the kitchen staff. A strange sense of giddiness overwhelmed Leo, and his pulse raced. Was he excited about the opportunity to visit a place that until now remained shrouded in secrecy? Or about meeting another young man who intrigued the house staff? A high stone wall surrounded the garden, the only access being a heavy wrought iron gate. Though the gate was closed, the latch was unlocked. With Lord Carson's permission, Leo entered the forbidden place, his heart quickening as he stepped through the gate. In an instant, he was captivated by the blooming allure of the flowers, the sweet fragrance permeating the air, and the gentle rustle of leaves whispering the earth's secrets. Amid this vibrant tapestry of nature, his senses were overwhelmed. He realized why the Lord favored this place. Its fragrant flowers and brilliantly blooming plants, all manicured to perfection, were the work of a master who had created the perfect sanctuary with divine assistance. A deep, youthful voice called out from behind a chrysanthemum bush. "Hello, can I help you?" Leo turned to meet his host and then gasped at the sight of the handsome young man. It was true what he had heard from the ladies in the manor. If anything, they had understated the gardener's appearance. His sun-kissed skin glowed with vitality, complementing his mesmerizing green eyes that sparkled with passion. His warm smile and trim, agile build, sculpted by dedication to the garden, embodied a natural charm that captivated all who crossed his path. Although his clothes were worn and dirt smudged, they draped over his perfectly proportioned body like fine drapery. Leo may not have addressed his sexual preference before, but now one thing was abundantly clear. This was what he wanted. Julian was everything Leo had ever fantasized about in the deepest, most secret caverns of his mind, and now his dream man stood before him.
Leo's my name.
Leo did his best to sound articulate, but he was far from it. The man continued, "I don't often get visitors here. I welcome the company in the sight of a fresh face, especially one as fetching as yours." Julian smiled pleasantly as he reached out his hand in greeting.
"I'm Julian. I was told you'd arrive and heard tales of your attractiveness. But I admit, you are even more dashing than I expected."
The two men shared a bashful chuckle. Then Leo continued as if he hadn't received the compliment.
Then I suppose you know why I'm here.
Yes. I received a direct message from Lord Carson earlier, with instructions for the bouquet, and a directive to keep guests out of the garden. I expect he sent you to ensure I understood the urgency of his letter.
Leo nodded. Yeah, yes, that could be it.
I'm curious that he sent me to convey something he had already put in writing, but no matter. I'm glad to make the acquaintance of a man my age in this grand estate. I don't know anyone other than the aged valets or the women from the kitchen staff.
Yeah, same here, Julian replied. I'm truly pleased to make your acquaintance. Perhaps, since the Lord favours you, as he does, he intended to send you here to treat you to a tour of his gardens. I'd happily show you our most prized possessions. Everything is in full bloom, and you'd be in for a treat. I take great pride in my work here. Nothing would please me more than to share it with you.
I'd love that, burst from Leo's lips, almost too enthusiastically.
He quickly regained his composure and politely stated in a fairly reserved tone, What a splendid idea. Julian saw Leo's appreciation for his garden and his reverence towards the living wonders surrounding them. Instantly, a delicate yet profound connection sparked between the two men. Within moments of spending time together, they knew that each other's company was all they desired. In the days leading up to the grand gala, Leo would sneak out of his chambers each night to be at Julian's side in his garden. With Lord Carson and the staff deep asleep in the distant bedrooms of the mansion, Leo sought the sanctuary Julian's company provided. Until meeting Julian, Leo hadn't considered his own sexuality. His tasks kept him occupied most of the day and night. He had precious little time to do anything but sleep. Meeting Julian changed all that. His days were spent dreaming of the nights with Julian. Until this point, Leo believed that hard, dutiful work brought all the rewards he needed. But now, it was evident that he was missing out on the very reason to be alive. The very thought of Julian's lean, toned body, short, dark, shaggy hair, and welcoming, trusting eyes made Leo weak in the knees. Strange that another fellow his age would make his heart race and his blood pump. What was this urge to kiss him, to feel his body pressed against his, to be as close to him as humanly possible? 3 nights had passed since their initial encounter in this sacred garden. Each evening since then found him in the garden's most secluded nook, where they laid concealed by thorn rose bushes that served as vigilant guardians. As the sweet scent of blooming roses filled the air, they lay naked and entwined on a plush bed of moss, their bodies warming each other against the chilly, damp night air. As close as they got to each other, it never seemed near enough. Not because of the cold, but because of their desires. Julian's breath, his touch, his taste. Leo wanted it all, and each morsel made him crave more. Unclothed and bathed in the soft, silvery glow of the full moon, their innocent, intertwined bodies made a solemn promise to each other. Their whispered words carried that same promise, a shared dream of a day when they could rightfully call each other husband. The evening of the grand celebration had arrived, casting an enchanting glow upon the nobleman's mansion. Its opulent facade was bathed in golden candlelight, while the property sparkled with lanterns guiding guests towards the festivities. The fragrance of roses, Julian's masterpieces, mingled with the aroma of sumptuous delicacies served inside. Amid the bustling home, now full of the local gentry, Leo stood at the central entrance. Dressed to the nines, he was the epitome of a diligent servant, ensuring every detail was perfect and organizing the seamless flow of the event. As the gala raged inside Lord Carson's grand ballroom, unbeknownst to anyone, an intoxicated guest, known for his boisterous nature, left the party and helped himself to a tour of the grand estate. After a self-guided tour of the cavernous and intricately adorned halls, he wandered through the animal-shaped bushes along the path towards the mansion's private garden. Spotting Julian manicuring the topiaries, the nobleman waddled up to the gardener with a swagger and a stumble.
"Young man, I would like to see the garden that has produced this evening's flora. Having seen the roses it's produced, I want to witness the garden in all its glory in person. Now, be quick and lead me to this magnificent arboretum."
Julian stood tall, dusting himself clean of the dirt and twigs that clung to his clothes. He was aware he should present himself properly to the so-called dignitary. "Yes, sir. The garden is indeed a sight to behold. It is the source of all my pride. I'd be thrilled to share it with you. However, as Lord Carlson's humble servant, I was instructed to keep the gates locked and politely decline any requests for entry. I apologize profusely for this inconvenience, but allowing admission is simply out of my control."
"Hogwash!" the rotund aristocrat barked. "How dare you refuse me?"
Once again, Julian apologized, trembling slightly as the ruddy, obese man jammed a finger into his chest.
"I am Baron myself, and you are merely a servant. You're in no position to deny anything I request. Open the gates to the garden at once before I report your insolence to Lord Carlson. Refuse me again, and I assure you, you'll no longer have a place in this house or any other manor in Britain."
The man's intolerance and belligerence escalated, and despite his better judgment, fear of the man's wrath pushed Julian to unlock the imposing iron gates, granting him passage. Julian watched in silent horror as the vulgar man carelessly trampled through the garden, destroying several of Julian's prized rose bushes and an array of shrubs adorned with crimson blooms. Tears welled up in Julian's eyes as he cradled the broken stems. To him, these were not mere plants. They were living embodiments of his passion and dedication, each blossom a testament to his love for his craft. His heartache was soon eclipsed by fear as he contemplated Lord Carlson's impending wrath upon discovering the state of his beloved garden. The Lord's notorious temper, especially with regard to his roses, haunted Julian's thoughts. Would his master blame him for yielding to this terrible man's demands? Was he at fault for not maintaining his post as instructed? Hidden in the garden, Julian agonized over the possibility of losing his position under Lord Carlson, and worse, being separated from Leo. The party ended, and Lord Carlson looked around at the success of the evening. Praise was lavished upon him by the other nobles in the area. Despite his claims of indifference to their criticism, the twinkle in his eye revealed that their acceptance, in fact, meant the world to him. Lord Carlson gathered his staff of 11 servants and lined them up. Before retiring for the evening, he wished to address them. Everyone was present but Julian. His absence wasn't a surprise to anyone. Truthfully, no one ever thought to include him. The meeting was primarily for house staff. Julian was rarely, if ever, involved in matters of the house. Once assembled, the Lord briefly addressed the group.
"This evening was quite spectacular. You all excelled at your jobs tonight. I am grateful for your efforts and talents. Good night."
As quickly as his remarks of gratitude were stated, so did the servants dissipate. Everyone was tired and eager for sleep. That is, everyone but Leo, who couldn't wait to slip away to reunite with Julian. Leo found Julian in the garden.
His usually vibrant spirit was replaced by fearful apprehension. Something was gravely wrong, and Leo was quick to take Julian into his arms to comfort him. "What has gotten you so upset? What happened tonight that I need to know about?" Julian put on a brave face and took a deep breath. The sadness in his eyes told Leo the whole story, but it was the details he provided. Julian recounted the terrible incident. "Tonight, as the grand celebration unfolded within the mansion's walls, an unthinkable calamity befell my beloved garden. An intoxicated guest, oblivious to the consequences of his actions, forced his way into the Lord's sanctuary, even after I forbade him to do so. I fear that Lord Carlson, in his disappointment and his anger, may cast me aside, dismissing my years of service and my devotion. This garden is my haven, my refuge, and the thought of losing both you and my roses just breaks my heart." The gravity of this situation laid heavy on Leo's heart. He couldn't bear the thought of Julian suffering Lord Carlson's anger for a mistake he couldn't help making. With a brave and stoic face, Leo proclaimed, "Tomorrow I will make this okay. You needn't worry. Trust me, it will be fine. And as of now, your only thoughts should be of this evening's success and the joy of being in my arms. Nothing else should concern you." A tender kiss between the two young men turned into a warm and comforting embrace as Julian nestled closely into Leo's chest, eager to hear the reassuring thump of his heartbeat echo through the tranquil silence. The following day, Leo mustered the courage to request a private audience with Lord Carlson, even as the nobleman enjoyed his breakfast. This was an uncommon request, one that had never been made before, and it piqued the Lord's curiosity. Intrigued, he granted Leo an audience in the Grand Library after his meal. In the opulent library, beside an already roaring fire, Lord Carlson settled into a plush leather chair. He lit a pipe, leaning back to consider what his young servant wanted to discuss. As the woodsy aroma of the tobacco filled the room, Leo entered, taking a deep breath. His voice, steady yet infused with raw emotion, confessed his love for Julian, recounting their secret meetings under the pale moonlight in the garden, their stolen kisses concealed behind fragrant rose bushes, and their shared dreams of breaking free from societal constraints. He held nothing back, revealing every intimate detail, in the hope that Lord Carlson's sense of justice would appreciate the sincerity of his honesty. Time stood still as Leo awaited Lord Carlson's response, his heart racing with anticipation. The suffocating weight of silence in the room grew with each passing moment, every second feeling like an eternity. When Lord Carlson finally rose from his seat, his features were cast starkly against the glow of the fire. Leo prepared himself for the worst, expecting a torrent of anger and disappointment to be unleashed upon him. However, to his surprise, Lord Carlson walked towards the tall windows, his gaze fixated on the garden obscured by darkness. His eyes held a contemplative calmness, devoid of the rage Leo had feared. He turned to face Leo, who steeled himself against the unknown. "I have known you for many years, Leo," he began, his voice a delicate blend of softness and sternness. "Your unwavering loyalty and honesty have been pillars of strength in my life." Lord Carlson then spoke of the transformation Julian had brought to the estate. Leo listened intently, his heart still pounding. The nobleman's words were not laced with condemnation, but rather with deep understanding and appreciation for the love that had blossomed within his cherished grounds.
His voice carried the weight of acceptance, and he continued, I may not comprehend the nature of your love, but I respect it. I respect both of you. Leo felt as if a boulder had been lifted from his chest. His eyes welled up with tears of relief and gratitude. Lord Carson's acceptance surpassed even his wildest hopes. Overwhelmed by the nobleman's immense generosity, Leo managed to express his heartfelt thanks through choked words. Lord Carson raised his hand, signaling for silence. Love knows no boundaries, Leo. Your connection with Julian has been made evident, as has your unwavering dedication to this estate and to each other. This is, and will always be, your home. Although you are both men, I consider you both my children. My home is your home, and the garden that Julian created is his. Please apologize to Julian for my guest's rudeness the other evening. I will address that issue. From now on, I will treat everyone in my employ as family, not as servants. I thank you for bringing this matter to me directly and honestly. And from this point forward, I promise to make this estate a worthy home for all of you. The days that followed saw a remarkable transformation within the manor. An unspoken understanding filled the halls. An acceptance of Leo and Julian's love blossomed among the staff and other household workers. Laughter echoed more freely, warmth infused the air, and their love became a beacon of joy in what was once a solemn abode. With lighter hearts, Leo and Julian continued their service, liberated from the shackles of secrecy. Their love was no longer hidden in fleeting glances and stolen moments. Now it shone freely under the sun's gaze. Their faces bore constant smiles, and their hands were frequently entwined, and they exchanged tender kisses openly. The garden reflected their joy, flourishing as vibrantly as their love. The private midnight rendezvous between Leo and Julian continued in the garden, enveloped by the sweet fragrance of the prized roses. Each night at midnight, bathed in the blue hue of the moon, their bodies drew close, their lips met, and their fingers traced the contours of each other's forms. One night, soon after the incident in the garden, Julian whispered to his beloved, Never have I met a man with more character and bravery as you. I am truly lucky to call you my one true love. Leo held Julian close, a smile lighting up his face. My bravery is only matched by your passion, heart, and warmth. It is me who is the luckier of the two of us. His hand traced a path down Julian's lean, toned body, sparking a thrilling shiver of anticipation. Now in this paradise that we've been fortunate enough to cultivate, on this perfect warm summer's evening, I can think of no better time to make love to the man who's already everything I've ever dreamt a man could be. Leo looks deeply into Julian's sweet, loving eyes as he softly caressed his face and replied, Together, we will experience the gifts of intimacy for the first time. In my wildest fantasies, no evening, no place, no person could have ever captured my heart like this. It couldn't be more perfect. And with that, their clothes fell away, piece by piece. Each article dropped carelessly on the grass. Their disrobing was unhurried. Each revealed skin awakening with a new surge of desire, and soon they stood bare before each other. The cool night air caused goosebumps on their tender skin, a stark contrast to the fiery passion igniting within them. Yes, Julian was known for his roses, but in this moment, it was his tulips Leo yearned for. Seems like Leo and Julian taught Lord Carson a thing or two about love and acceptance. Often the family we find is stronger than the ones we're born into. I hope you enjoyed today's steamy story. I know I personally had a blast being your guest host. As always, Steamy Stories is written by J.C. Calciano, one of my dearest friends. And today, it was hosted by me, Jack Turner. I hope you'll join us next month for another tawdry tale. I've been told it's a sexy story about two astronauts who embark on a crucial mission to save the Earth. It's definitely not one you'll want to miss. So, let the countdown begin. T-minus 30 days till we tell you our next steamy story. Till then, cheerio, bro.